Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you.
One that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation.
Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack.
Who built it? The Russians? The Chinese? Martians? Canadians? I don't care! All I know is we didn't build it, and that's reason enough to assume the worst and blow up the Kingdom Come.
For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it.
Soldiers and their weapons would be powerless before the onslaught of the beast. The beast. The beast. The beast from 20,000 fathoms.
Guns, tanks, bombs. They're like toys against them.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it. The nation and then the world could fall before the blood-curdling threat of...
Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, Godzillas and Mothras, aliens and predators. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast. I am your conspiracy-loving host, Elisa Breen, and sitting next to me is my radioactive partner in grime, Jarrett the Kaiju Man Weglin.
Hey there, guys.
We are kicking off July's double feature of Big Hairy Monsters with an earth-shaking sibling rivalry with War of the Gargantuas. So we watched this yesterday, and it was my first time. When was the first time you watched War of the Gargantuas? Because I know you are the in-house Toho expert.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this as a kid a long time ago. Part of TBS's Monster Vision.
So this must have been pretty magical for you, watching giant hairy beasts battling it out.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely one of the good ones. It wasn't Godzilla for me, even though it was definitely one of the good ones, you know.
So this film is actually kind of like a sequel to the 1965 film Frankenstein Conquers the World, and is directed by Ishiro Honda, who was a protege of Akira Kurosawa.
Yes, Akira Kurosawa. He's one of the greats of Japanese cinema. He's probably one of he's probably like Alfred Hitchcock, or even better in Japan. He directed Seven Samurai, Rashomon, The Hidden Fortress. If you've seen a little movie called Star Wars, maybe, George Lucas stole from him. The American film, The Magnificent Seven, the Western, that's based on Seven Samurai. Yeah, Akira Kurosawa has done some amazing films.
Yeah, didn't you like relate him to Orson Welles and stuff like that?
Yeah, he's definitely one of the good ones.
So special effects were done by... Oh my gosh, please save me right now. Special effects were done by Eiji Tsubura.
I'm going to let you do it. Go ahead.
Oh my goodness. Eiji Tsuburaya.
Eiji Tsuburaya, you got it.
Oh my goodness. And we actually took a lot of the research from... or for this episode, from a wonderful book that Jarrett owns, that is the... What is it called, sweetheart?
It's called Eiji Tsuburaya, Master of Monsters, by a great author called August Ragone. Yes, he writes a lot of books about tokusatsu and kaiju stuff.
Yeah, like if you're looking for a really great book about all of this special effects work that Eiji has done, I mean, there's pictures of so many movies that he's done.
How, like, he got in the business.
Yeah, I mean, I looked through the book briefly, and I mean, there's even this really great picture from War of the Gargantuas where they have their masks off.
Just standing in the water.
Yeah, and it's like a really sobering moment to see them, you know, standing there in their fursuits with no heads on. Well, I mean, they have their human heads, but, you know.
Yeah, they didn't take their heads off.
And the music was done by Akira Ifukube.
Akira Ifukube, yeah.
Ifukube! I'm sorry, you guys. You're going to have to bear with me this episode. I am not the one here who's great at pronouncing Japanese names and words.
I'm not going to say I'm an expert, but I do hope to get a lot of these right.
Jarrett's the one who's been doing it his whole life, not me. But the music is great in this film, so, you know, Akira did an excellent job.
Yeah, these three are are definitely in the Toho universe. These three are an amazing trio. They don't work on every single Toho film, but if these three are together, then you know you have a classic Toho film. Ifukube does the quintessential Godzilla theme, and a lot of the other Toho themes, Mothra, Gargantua's, Rodan, Ishiro Honda, he was obviously a protege of Kurosawa, like we said. He was actually assistant director, and then he came up, became director of the first Godzilla film, and then he became director of most kaiju films, and a lot of the Toho films himself, and Eiji Tsuburaya was his secondhand man with all the special effects, and these three made the kaiju genre, in my mind.
Yeah, and so Ifukube, he did the Godzilla March, did he?
Yes, he did.
Well, that's what Jarrett's going to be walking down the aisle to at our wedding, so thank you, Ifukube, for setting such a brilliant mood for our wedding. So, Jarrett, why don't you give us just a brief feel for the movie before we dive into some stuff?
Okay, yeah. So this film is actually a sequel to the 1965 film Frankenstein Conquers the World, which is actually a little bit of a departure for Ishiro Honda. It was the first monster without a tail besides Mothra.
And also a little strange to have a giant Frankenstein.
Frankenstein was a big thing for some reason in Japan. Like, for some reason, they just love Frankenstein. The whole Frankenstein mythos in Japan was huge. And even in Europe, some of the Godzilla films, they would be titled Frankenstein's Monster Godzilla. I don't know. I don't.
What?
I can't really find an explanation for that right now. And maybe in later on when we tackle Godzilla, I will track that down for you guys. But anyways, 1965. Frankenstein Conquers the World. It's about Frankenstein, but in this time it's a giant Frankenstein.
All the better,
of course. And it does feature a monster that is featured in some Godzilla films in the future, Baragon, which does have a tail. Actually, I should say that there is a tail in this movie. Baragon is a cool monster. This is his debut. So this film, War of the Gargantuas, is a sequel to this film, and it was released in 1966. And these gargantuas are actually a creation from the discarded cells from this giant Frankenstein. And they, at first, they think there's only one, and then there happens to be two, and they generate from the cells of this giant Frankenstein, and there's these giant hairy humanoids. And they still call them Frankensteins in the Japanese version, but in the American version, they're called Gargantuas. They didn't want to correlate any relation to the Frankenstein monster of universal fame, I guess.
Well, probably because they look so different.
Yeah.
And also yeah. Because Universal owned it.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah, so this story is basically about two different creatures that are spawned from these Frankenstein cells that have been discarded in Japan, and they create these two different creatures. One of them is Gaira, from the Japanese word kai, which means sea, and the other one is named Sanda, which is from the word san, which is the Japanese word for mountain, and the one from the sea is the evil one.
A real dick.
Yeah, he's a real jerk. And the one from the land, the mountains, he's the docile one. He doesn't want to. He tries to stray away from humans and basically from everyone. He's the nice one. He doesn't want to fight anybody, but he desperately wants to protect his sibling and find meaning with his brother, basically.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to fight him, and in the end, ends up having to because he's fucking eating people.
Yeah, he sees that his brother is eating people, and he does not like that, and he is forced to fight him because of his own morals. And you can see that these creatures are much smarter than some of the other kaiju featured in some of the earlier films, and that's why this film is kind of unique in a way.
Yeah. So this movie was produced by Toho in 1966 and opened in July of 1966, but it was released in the United States in 1970 and was double billed with Monster Zero, which also starred Kumi Mizuno, which is the female lead in War of the Gargantuas, who is quite the cutie.
Oh, yeah. She is a dreamy, dreamy girl.
She is so adorable.
I love her so much. From as a kid until now, she is so cute.
Yeah, she is cutie pie. And the dialogue was dubbed to English for its release in the United States. All mention of Frankenstein was removed, and Sansa and Kyra were simply referred to as Brown Gargantua and Green Gargantua.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. They did not use those names really at all in the American version.
Which is weird and dumb, because they're just names. It's not like Americans are too dumb to understand names.
Yeah, in the American version, they're just like, oh, the brown one's here. Oh, the green one's coming back. Oh, it's the brown one.
Like,
oh.
We only understand color-coded monsters.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
They didn't even make up names for them. Like,
yeah. But anyway, so this movie had quite a few different titles. Originally, it had like three different titles. It might have been called in Japan. Right?
Yeah, these are the Japanese... The
alternate Japanese titles before they settled on War of the Gargantuas, which was Frankenstein Brothers.
The Frankenstein Brothers. That's like a duo. Like a.
It sounds like a comedy. Like a, that was star John C. Reilly and like Will Ferrell. The Frankenstein Brothers at it again. And there was Battle of the Frankensteins.
That's okay.
And that's all right. And Duel of the Frankensteins. That's
not
right.
Too bad.
But I really do enjoy War of the Gargantuas.
Yeah, that would be the American title, though.
Yeah, that's definitely the American title. There's alternative titles.
More titles, like...
Different countries.
Yeah, international titles.
Yeah, like there's Frankenstein, Duel of the Giants, that's Germany. The War of the Monsters is France.
That's very vague. Especially in a time where there's tons of monster movies coming out.
Yeah. And then there was Katango in Italy. We looked that up.
Yeah.
We looked that up to see if that was an Italian word. It is not. I do not know what Katango is supposed to mean. So if you out there in the Twitterverse, wherever in the internet world, want to tell us if you know what Katango means, please do, because we have no freaking clue.
Yeah, it's weird because there was a Toho film that came out called Matango, which in America was Attack of the Mushroom People, but but I mean that has nothing to do with it. So
yeah.
We searched and searched what Katango was, but it's not Italian as far as we know. It's not Japanese. So I mean,
yeah, we put it in a Google Translate, didn't even recognize it. It was just like, excuse me, this is a dumb word.
Please tweet us, please Facebook us, please Instagram us. What does that mean?
Yeah. The Japanese title, which, please, Jarrett, do entertain us with saying this title.
I'll try. Frankenstein no Kaiju Sanda Tai Gaira. Which means Frankenstein's monster Sanda against Gaira.
And it's just fun to see Frankenstein translated into Japanese. Frankenstein.
Yeah, I can usually work out a lot of Japanese words just because I've been trying to say them all my life because of my addiction to kaiju films. But when they try to use a Germanic type word such as Frankenstein through Japanese, it really the translation, it makes it even harder.
Yeah. Oh, man. So the only other time that the Gargantuas are mentioned is in Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla, which is much, 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 much later
in the
Toho universe in 2002.
Yeah, that's part of the Millennium series of kaiju films. It's mentioned because in that film, the Maser cannons, which we will talk about a little bit later, are part of Mechagodzilla's arsenal, and the Maser cannons are debuted in this film, and they are really part of the Gargantua's downfall in this, besides the other Gargantua.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about the Maser cannons later when we get into the effects. And
the Maser cannons are so cool.
They are really cool. And like, it was so funny because we're watching this movie, and normally when we watch kaiju films, I'm the one screaming, "Why are you using guns and tanks and stuff? It's not gonna hurt them." And Jarrett turned to me after I yelled it during this movie, and he was like, "Oh, just wait. It does hurt him this time." And I was like, "Oh, fuck."
Yeah, they're not as like a super kaiju, like a Godzilla or like a Mothra this time. They're kind of just like big humans, basically.
Big furry humans.
Yeah, big furry humans. But I mean, as far as like the tanks and the helicopters, they do kind of hurt the Gargantuas, but when they bring out those Maser cannons, do they fuck them up?
I mean, like, you can even see on the Green Gargantua after, like, the first military attack on him, he just is, like, ripped the fuck apart. Like, you can see, like, gashing wounds, like, all over his body.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, still fucking eating people.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like the clothes. Always spits out the clothes.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the Steven Spielberg War of the Worlds, which also has war in the title, by the way. War and War of the Gargantuas. But it's weird, the cannons of the tripods of War of the Worlds, how they incinerate the humans, but then, like, their pants just float down. It's the Gargantua eats the people, but then he just spits out their pants.
Yeah, it's like, how could you possibly chew up a human body and just like fully intact spit out their clothes?
It is pretty,
it's impressive.
It's pretty freaking crazy that this is one of the few kaiju in the Toho universe where they just freaking straight up eat the freaking humans, though.
Well, they're the smaller of the kaijus. I mean, most of the kaijus in the Toho universe are so big that the humans are pretty much like insects to them. Yeah. They just trample them because they don't even really care. I mean, they don't even really see them. But, like, the Gargantuas are the size where they could literally just, like, pick up a fucking human and stuff it in their mouth. But, I mean, Sanda doesn't. It's all Gyra.
Yeah, Sanda, he actually saves a few humans here and there.
Yeah. Sanda's a sweetie. Sanda, as they call it, what the doctor says, a big old teddy bear. That big old teddy bear saved you again.
He's a big old
teddy bear. He saved you again. So let's jump into the effects. So that actually would lead us into the Maser cannons, which this is the film that marks the first appearance of the Maser cannon in the Toho universe. And it would become the most famous reoccurring military weapon in Toho's Godzilla films over the next several decades.
The Maser cannon is, although it's not in every kaiju film, it is basically recognizable to most kaiju fans. It's basically a tank with a pole that sticks out with a kind of like a radar dish looking thing, and it just pulses these laser looking lightning pulses at these monsters. And you know, when Godzilla just gets hit by a tank shell, it doesn't really phase him. Well, when he gets hit by these things, and other kaijus get hit by these things, they react. They get pissed off by these things.
And actually, that is one of the things that Star Wars did rip off from Ashira.
Oh yeah, another
is the Maser cannon.
You can tell that George Lucas watched a lot of Japanese cinema. He stole from Hidden Fortress and stole Maser cannons to put in, what was it, episode one. You can tell in episode one there are some tanks that look like Maser cannons. They look exactly like Maser cannons. It might be episode one and episode two, or maybe it's one of those. They look exactly like Maser cannons, I swear.
It doesn't matter whether it's one or two. Bullshit. But the suits that are used in this film are actually some of the favorites of the people who played the kaijus in the Toho films.
Oh, yeah.
Haru Nakajimi, or Nakajima, the man who played many of the Toho monsters, including Godzilla, in the first 12 movies, has said that Kaira, the evil gargantua, was his favorite to play due to the flexibility of the costume. And you can see his eyes through the mask, which, I mean, that adds, like, a complete eerie realness to these monsters, is being able to see the actor's eyes through the mask. But also, the suits are so flexible. These are the fastest kaiju monsters.
Yeah, you can just see them. They just sprint. Compared to, we'll go back to Godzilla like I always do, but Godzilla, he's just the most powerful kaiju, of course, but he just stumbles, he just kind of waddles through cities, and he can just go through anything. But these gargantuas, they just sprint through these cities and villages, through houses, through anything they want, and they're basically like wrestlers.
Like the way that they fight with each other, like they really can get into the fight. Like Godzilla and all the other monsters, they just kind of run into each other.
Yeah.
And I mean, the fights are great, don't get me wrong. I'm not throwing shade on kaiju fights.
No. But it's a different kind of fight, because the other kaiju have other abilities. They have beam attacks. King Ghidorah has his electricity type beams. Godzilla has his breath. Rodan has his wind. Mothra has his the larva has his
the Mothra has the poison dust and stuff.
Yeah, the larva has the silk. And but these gargantuas, all they have is their brute strength and their speed, and so the fights are completely different. And
it's literally like just watching two dudes who are drunk at a bar brawl in like the back alley.
Yeah, and that's why that's why this movie has a different charm to it. It's definitely a kaiju film, because it's still giant Japanese monsters, but also since these are smaller monsters in scale from Godzilla, they're less than half the size. So they had to also create the cities and planes and cars smaller in scale. So
it was like much more difficult work for the people creating the miniatures, because they had to look way more realistic because they were bigger.
Way more detail, because they were going to be, the camera's going to be way more focused in on them, and they were going to be thrown into these buildings. Not just like Godzilla's knees going into a building. These gargantuas get thrown inside these buildings, and gargantuas reach inside of a window at one time when they're at an airport, and they reach in and grab a woman and eat them.
Well, one of them eats.
Well, yeah, one of them.
the detail on these miniature sets had to be so much better, and they had to be made out of better quality material, because I mean, Godzilla sets, you can really just make it out of something that would look good when it falls over. But I mean, like, if you notice the airport sets and the building sets, it has to look kind of like concrete, because when he knocks his hand into it or they fall into it, you see the inside of the building, and you see the bits falling off of it.
You see the little, there's little desks.
Yeah, there's little desks. It's pretty cute.
The cars have steering wheels, like, It's crazy how the miniature work is great on Toho films.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, but
every
they
Toho
had
film's
to
great.
Focus much more because when the kaiju gets smaller, the buildings have to get bigger because the humans inside the kaiju suits don't change size.
Yeah.
You have to make them look smaller by making the buildings bigger. That's just
simple science, people.
And
science.
It just amazes me. I wish I lived in that time so I could work there in Japan. It's such a beautiful thing.
I'm sure that
I want to yell it at the rooftops. It's so beautiful.
I'm sure that if we went to Japan and you went to Toho Studios and screamed at the gate, that you would get arrested.
And I plan on doing that.
But something that I wanted to mention earlier when we were talking about the suits, but we jumped right into miniatures because we're always so excited about practical effects. But I'm actually really glad they didn't do this because it made the mobility of the monster so much better. But they're actually, you know, how obsessed Toho is with their monsters having tails. They actually, gargantuas were supposed to have tails.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm glad they didn't because it made them way more mobile, way more, you know, able to wrestle and fight better. But the brown one, Sanda, was supposed to have a fuzzy tail. And
from the
Kyra
mountains.
Was supposed to have a reptilian scaly tail.
Because he's from the sea.
He's a seaman.
A seaman.
Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, the effects were amazing for this film, as they are for, you know, all Toho movies that we have seen. Or, I mean, I've seen less than Jared.
Well, they drop when the interest drops, their budgets drop, but
I mean, they still work their fucking asses off.
Oh yeah, they work with what they got, and
they're not like, oh, our budgets are done, we're just gonna fucking make our miniature cities out of cardboard.
My love for them doesn't drop.
But so now let's jump into the actors that were in this movie. We already, of course, discussed our love and appreciation for Kumi Mizuno.
Let's just talk about Kumi the whole rest of the podcast.
I don't know if all of our listeners would enjoy that as much as we would.
Well, if they Google image searched her, they would.
Oh my gosh. Her as an alien is so cute. I want to get that costume so I can cosplay
her as her. Monster Zero, which is the double build for this.
Yes, she is so adorable as a little alien. But she was Toho's most popular actress. She has been in movies from 1963 to 2004 for Toho.
Yeah, just like a lot of Toho's actors, and they use them a lot. I think in Japan they really like to see their actors over and over. They get an affinity for...
Well, we're pretty much the same. I mean, how many times
That's
have you
true.
Seen fucking Brad Pitt?
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, how many times is Brad Pitt in the same movie with a monster? The same monster?
You got me there. But, I mean, like... Japan's famous for monster movies. For That's kaiju cool. movies. I mean...
Yeah, you got me.
We got each other. But, and she actually, if you watch the movie, there is a scene where she is almost falling off a cliff and she has to hang from a branch while desperately trying to be saved by the great doctor. And she was actually so afraid of heights that she became ill during that scene where she was hanging from the branch. And despite being filmed just 3 feet above a mattress, the director, Ishiro Honda, had to constantly remind her to look up to prevent her agoraphobia. And needless to say, her visible queasiness in the film was no act.
Yeah, Kumi is in lots of films, but... as far as her Toho work, she's in the film I mentioned before, Matango, which is Attack of the Mushroom People, which is how it's known here in America. Frankenstein versus Baragon, which is the American title of Frankenstein Conquers the World. I mean, it was called Frankenstein Conquers the World here. They switch around titles with these sci-fi movies all the time. Invasion of the Astro Monster.
That's not, I like the name of that. I want to watch that.
Yeah. let's see. Ibra, Horror of the Deep, which is also known as Godzilla versus the Sea Monster. War of the Gargantuas. Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, which is the 2002 version. And Godzilla Final Wars, which...
Which is not the Final Wars.
Well, it It was for a long time.
That's true.
They didn't make... Japan did not make a Godzilla movie for a long time after 2004, so...
Which was very sad.
Yes. I do love Japan's Godzilla movies, even though the American one was okay. Not the Matthew Broderick one.
Not the 1998 one.
That's a different story for a different time. But yeah, she was in a lot of Toho movies, as well as a lot of other Japanese movies. She was a very popular actress in Japan.
And someone who even has a bigger list of movies he's been in.
You will recognize this actor if you do watch a lot of Toho movies. He is the second assistant to the doctor in War of the Gargantuas, Kinji Sahara.
But he's been in...
He was...
Gosh.
Oh, man, I don't even want to count.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to read that list.
No, I don't want to just read them out, but he was in the very first Godzilla and the first Rodan. I mean, there hasn't been another Rodan, but Rodan was in tons of other Godzilla movies as Godzilla's bestie.
Yeah, and then Mothra.
The first Mothra.
King Kong versus Godzilla.
He was in Matango with Kumi.
Son of Godzilla.
Mothra versus Godzilla. Ghidorah, the three-headed monster.
Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Destroy all monsters.
And he was also in Final Wars.
Yeah, he was in Final Wars with Kumi. He's one of the few actors that was in the Showa era, the Heisei era, and in the Millennium era of Godzilla films. So he is a Godzilla alum, not just Godzilla, but a Toho alum throughout all eras, so
yeah.
He is just...
A very impressive man.
He's prestigious.
And then the last actor that we are going to discuss, the lead, who was an American actor brought in, of course, to bring American popularity.
Yeah.
To the movie, is Russ Tamblyn, which, of course, we all know is such a talent, especially us in the sci-fi world, for Twin Peaks. He was Dr. Jacoby, the creepiest doctor of all time, who right now on the Twin Peaks Return is selling gold shovels for some freaking reason.
Yeah, he's being like a Alex Jones kind of guy, too.
up with that?
Yeah, anyways.
Sorry, we will discuss Twin Peaks Return on our news episode, which will come out soon.
Toho was doing, at this time in the early 60s, Toho was bringing in American actors. Mainly, it was Russ Tamblyn and then Nick Adams.
Nick Adams, which is actually in the movie that this double featured with in America.
Nick Adams was in that and I believe it was...
He was in Frankenstein.
In Frankenstein and, in Monster Zero.
Yeah. And, I mean, Russ Tamblyn has an incredible... career. I mean, he was Tony in West Side Story, which, I mean, I didn't even know he had a career this long back when I was watching Twin Peaks. He has been in some crazy popular soap operas, General Hospital and Days of Our Lives. He's in a show we're watching right now, which is The Increasingly Bad Decisions of Todd Margaret,
which is David Cross.
Hilarious.
It's a very good show.
Not sci-fi, but definitely should watch if you're into David Cross. Very funny man.
He's in Quantum Leap, which is a sci-fi show.
Yes. And
he was also a choreographer on Jailhouse Rock with Elvis Presley.
He, as I said, very prestigious, long-ass, weird career.
Yeah.
Weird man.
When you look at Russ Tamblyn in War of the Gargantuas, do you really think of him as a choreographer?
I do not, but I... You know what?
You don't want to doubt it.
I continue to see him as a creep. Because, like, in War of the Gargantuas, when poor Kumi is, like, passed out from being, like, knocked out from Kyra, he like, runs a flower across her face to, like, wake her up. And I was like, oh, no. God, no. Like, yeah. How many women out there would be terrified if your boss woke you up running a flower gently across your face?
I agree with that part, but I think that they might have a little something extra going on than just boss and employee relationship.
Until there is a kiss, don't you be running no flowers across my fucking face. Okay? Even if you woke me up running a flower across my face, I'd be like, okay, so when are you, where's the poison? Where's the poison food? Are you going to stab me?
Yeah, but when I do it, I try not to wake you up.
Oh my God. Fucking psycho. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's move on. Let us discuss the plot. Okay, so if you have not watched War of the Gargantuas, please pause. Go watch.
And you should have watched it by now.
Yes, because it is from the 60s, so no spoiler alert should be needed. But,
and if you're listening to this, you should have watched.
But please, please go watch this movie. It is fantastic. It was very, very fun. But we are about to spoil the entire fucking thing. So
yeah,
we really would like it if you would go watch it so we don't ruin it for you. But anyway, so the movie starts out with, you know, how a lot of those monster movies start. A man at sea on his boat and the waves are rough and a giant octopus comes out of the sea.
Yeah, you know how giant octopi just come out of nowhere every... You know how, like, sailors just are always warned of giant cephalopods?
Yeah, just a giant octopus grabbing you. And, like, there's literally, like, 10 minutes where he's fighting with this giant octopus.
He's yelling for his buddies, and none of them are coming to his aid.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you.
But so then Gaira comes out of the sea, and he basically, like, picks up the octopus and throws it.
He beats the shit out of this stupid octopus.
He just picks it up and throws it, and it's just bye-bye octopus. But then
you think he's
like, saved. Yeah, you think, like, oh, man, this monster has saved this boat. Nah, nah, nah. He goes up to the boat and just starts rocking it violently.
Yeah. This is my boat now.
And then he, like...
I'm in a tub. This is my toy.
And he kills the boat. Boat's dead.
Yeah, the boat's alive and he kills it.
But so then we go on to...
Basically, the guy is in the hospital now.
Yeah, one of the sailors. Gaira,
the guy that
ate everyone fucking else. Yeah, he basically just followed them while they were trying to swim away.
Yeah, they're swimming
away. And just
away.
Was picking them up out of the sea and putting them in his dumb mouth. Which, by the way, okay, Gaira, he looks like the bully from middle school.
Yeah,
he looks like a dick, and he's got giant ugly teeth.
He's the guy that's like, his mom tells him to wear his retainer every day, and he's the one that threw it away on accident, and he's scared to tell his mom.
Like, he's the guy who slightly pooped his pants in class, and everyone's like, it smells like shit in here. And he's in the back.
It's not me. It's not me.
It's not me. I heard Kelly fart.
Armor got a race ass first.
Yeah, he was like the worst fucking kid.
He's like, if they know I poop my pants, then I won't go to recess.
He's a dumb fucking haircut. As you can tell, I'm not bitter at all.
Not at all.
I'm not bitter, Chad.
This is what I deal with.
I'm not bitter, Chad.
Okay. I'm glad not to be Chad.
But okay, so he fucking eats all these people, and they find, like, the clothes of the other four sailors. Because once again, this fucking motherfucker just spits out clothes after he's done eating people. And so the sailor who's, like, in the hospital, he just goes, what does he say? He goes, giant or something.
Yeah, it's either giant or something.
Or monster.
Yeah, or Gaira. I don't know. Something that's very...
when the doctor comes. Yeah. When the doctor comes, he just opens his eyes, like, giant. And then,
and he's just mobbed by reporters. So, and they hear him say that, and for some reason, they just automatically know to go to Russ Tamblyn and Kazuno's character and ask him if it's their
gargantua, because they had a baby gargantua, which they do not explain at all, like, no. how they got this baby gargantua,
other than
they're like, oh, we loved it.
Yeah,
like,
it was nice.
Kumi's character is like, I cared for it so much.
We once had a baby in our
position. I loved it.
Yeah.
And, like, they show the cute little baby gargantua, and it is cute.
And she's like, feeding it. She's, like, helping it drink milk, and she basically spills milk all over it.
Oh, my God. If you watch that scene, basically she spills milk all over that little person's costume.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, oh, look, this is how you drink milk. And then she goes to put the bottle up to the costume's mouth and spills milk all over it.
So then, like, after that, it kind of cuts to another boat, a fishing boat, and they get caught on, their net gets caught on something in the water, and they look down in the water, and they see Gyra underneath, just kind of waving,
yeah.
Hello, I'm under the water, you're caught on me, you idiots.
Yeah, it's like terrifying, and also at the same time, you're like, what?
Like, he attacked the other boat, like, super fast, and then these people get their net caught on him, and then he's just...
Like, he was just taking a nap, and then, like, they woke him up with their dumb net. And so, obviously, you know what happens to these guys.
Yeah. And they try to pull in their net. Some other people try to pull in their net, and they see the head pop up. And then they go back to Russ Tamblyn and Kazuno. Are you sure this isn't the one you had? This isn't your gargantua, the one that escaped? Or...
Yeah, they, like, keep pressuring him, like, are you sure? And then Kumi's character is like, no, he was so sweet. He was such a sweet little baby. He wouldn't hurt a fly.
Pretty much right after that scene, he comes ashore and attacks an airport, and he grabs somebody.
And he grabs that lady and fucking eats her and spits her out.
Spits out her fucking clothes. Dress. That's when we discover that he doesn't like light. The clouds part, and he sees the sun.
Oh, he sees the sun.
And
no.
He goes, ah, I don't like it.
No. And he goes back in the ocean.
Basically like me.
Yeah, but I don't think our blinds are ever open.
No. I don't like it.
So he goes back in the ocean because the sun is bad. And then we find out that there's footprints. Someone found footprints.
Yeah.
Going up into the mountains.
In the Japanese Alps.
Yeah. So then Russ Tamblyn, Dr. Man, he was like, well, fuck, I'm going to go up in these fucking mountains because obviously... There's another gargantua.
And they go up there and then they don't even see the gargantua.
They just like go halfway up. They see the fucking footprints. And then like they're like, ah. And then they go back down. And then...
Basically, that's when Gyra comes to Tokyo and starts to attack Tokyo for the first time.
That's when he gets mazered, right? Yeah.
That's pretty much... They bring in... They already know that Gyra's an asshole, so they bring in the military, or as the Japanese know it, the self-defense force, and
he, like, walked through Tokyo out into, like, the boonies of fucking Tokyo, where they're, like, trying to scare him off by lighting fires, and, yeah. Like, they...
Well, that's the only lights that they had.
Well, because it's the fucking boonies of Tokyo. I don't even know where the fuck it is. It's, like, under Mount Fuji or some shit.
And basically, they just...
Maser the fuck out of him.
The military fucks him up.
Oh,
they got
the
tanks fuck them up. The artillery fucks them
up.
They
put shooting at him.
They put electrodes in the river.
Boom, 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 boom.
He tries to go in the river, and they electrify the river, and he gets electrified. But when he steps in the river, and then the maser cannons start to just and he just gets fucked up. And then finally, we get the reason why it's called War of the Gargantuas. Yeah. We finally find out why it's plural.
That's when Sanda comes.
So he helps his brother. He picks him up, and he's basically like, shame on you guys. Leave my brother alone. Leave him alone.
Because he hasn't seen him, like, eat anybody or do anything bad. He's just like, why are you shooting my brother? I didn't even know I had a brother. I'm very confused about my feelings.
He carries his brother off into the deep forest to some lake bed, and he kind of nurses him back to health.
This is when the doctor and Kumi... I just call them by, like, their real names in real life, because I forget what their names are in the movie. Russ and Kumi. Russ and Kumi come into the scene, and, like, there's partying going on. It's ridiculous. These monsters, these kaijus, are in the fucking lake, and there's people paddle boating in the goddamn lake. And there's, like, these college kids singing, dancing down to the lake, and I'm like... what the fuck is going on? Like, yeah. You think that there was an alert, like, there's kaijus in the area.
Russ Tamblyn, his character is Dr. Stewart. Dr. Stewart, he's like, you know the youth, when there's some kind of shit going down, they like to party.
Yeah.
So,
because Kumi is just very confused.
So, Kumi, they see Gaira. Like, the young kids kind of run away, and
well, yeah, because Kyra's, like, chasing him down.
Yeah, and Kumi slips and falls.
And then this is when Sanda rescues her.
Yeah.
Because he remembers her and loves her. And also, Sanda just... He's very kind to humans. He doesn't like humans to be hurt, and he loves her. So he saves her. He
catches her.
But then at the same time, he hurts his leg.
Yeah, a big boulder falls on his leg, and he's injured. And so he puts Kumi back to safety, and he kind of waddles back to where Kyra is.
And then he sees, holy shit! You ate all those kids.
He sees basically a big... He sees Kyra sitting against a cliff face.
And he's like looking like he just ate Thanksgiving dinner.
He's in a food coma with a big pile of these teenager clothes.
Literally, like...
And he puts two and two together. These like I said, these kaiju are not stupid. And he's like... And Sanda pulls a tree right out of the ground and just starts hitting him with it. Bam! Bam!
Like, hitting him in the stomach.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you for eating humans, you stupid shit. And then, like, the only way that, like, Gaira fights is, like... It's so sibling, I tell ya. It's like how a little brother would fucking fight his older brother. It's just, he's biting him on the arm.
Yeah, he grabs his arm and bites him.
Like a little fuck. And then,
Kyra makes his way towards Tokyo again.
They're like, oh, we have to destroy both gargantuas. And the doctor's like, please don't destroy the brown one. The brown one is good. It saved Kumi. It saved Kumi.
They're like,
And then there's like this very shrill... singing number by a white woman.
Yeah.
But it's a very delightful song. I really like the song.
It's stuck in my throat.
These words get stuck in my throat.
These words get stuck in my throat.
Very sharp performance. I did not enjoy the performance. And she almost got it.
So, Gaira finally makes it back to Tokyo. All the lights are on. It's starting to get... people are starting to run out of Tokyo, and...
And so he's like, where's all my food?
And Dr. Stewart and Akimi, I think her name is.
Her name is in the movie Kimi?
Akimi.
Akimi?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
They run in, they're like, they want to save
They want to save Sanda, so they're like begging. Because they're, basically the military is getting ready, because like, Gaira is back in Tokyo.
They agree that Sanda's good, but they...
But they're like, we have to destroy them both. We cannot risk it. And they're like, please, please spare him. And so, basically this is when Sanda shows up and fucking shit goes down.
First of all, Gaara grabs Akimi, and then when Sanda sees Akimi in Gaara's hand, he gets pissed.
Yeah, because he loves Akimi. Because Akimi spilled milk all over him when he was a baby.
Yeah, you don't fuck with my milk mama.
Gross! Oh my god, don't fuck with my milk mama.
So when Gaara's just about to eat Akimi, you hear Sanda's roar, and then Gaara drops Akimi, and the
just
battle
drops
is on.
Her right through a giant hole in the ground into the subway.
That's when the war of the gargantuas really begins, because because Sanda's still injured, but he's like, no, I don't want to fight you. Let's just solve this. We're brothers, man. We're brothers.
Yeah, literally, because none of the kaijus ever fucking talk, but he's like waving his arm like, no.
He's actually shaking his head.
No, yeah.
He's like,
no, no. Like, clearly just like, go back to the fucking ocean, you stupid cunt. And like, the Kaira's just like the whiny little fucking brat sibling. He's like, wah, I want to fucking ruin everything. And just finally, Sanda's like, oh, fine. I have to fucking ruin you. So
yeah, Sanda's like, fine.
Then there's a great fight scene, which you have to watch.
Through buildings.
Like, yeah, fucking throwing into buildings. Fucking, then they bring out the mazers.
Then the mazers come back, baby.
And like, it's actually pretty sweet. They avoid Sanda.
Yeah,
they don't shoot Sanda with the mazers.
This is one of the few times where collateral damage is very small. They are really good. I mean, the tank operators suck. They shoot buildings and everything, but the operators of the mazer cannons, they do not hit Sanda once.
Yeah, they only
shoot Gaara.
And it's a pretty amazing fight scene. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, and it's pretty long for a kaiju fight.
Yeah. And then, so, finally, Sanda's, like, pushing him out to sea. And then helicopters start dropping bombs.
None of them hit him.
Yeah, and it's like, fucking, they said not to drop bombs, because if you spread their fucking cells out, they're just gonna spawn more Frankensteins, you dumbass.
Yeah.
It's like, literally nobody listens to fucking anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're pushing him out to sea, and finally they get to a volcano.
Rises out from the sea.
It rises up and
it engulfs both of them. Sanda takes him down with
him. Sanda sacrifices himself.
He knows what he has to do
to save Japan.
Oh, Sanda, you came and
you gave without taking. Oh, Sanda. Oh, beautiful. And that is the War of the Gargantuas. Actually, it was supposed to end with the lava from the volcano destroying all of Tokyo. But I think they wanted to end it more nice.
Yeah, that would be kind of bleak.
Yeah. Because the whole point with Sanda was like sacrificing himself to save Tokyo.
Good job, Sanda.
The lava destroyed all of Tokyo, then what was the fucking point, Sanda? What was the fucking point?
Good job, Sanda. High five.
Sanda, you did a great job. This film has had a really great impact on popular culture. Quentin Tarantino used the fight scene to be his influence for the fight between Uma Thurman and Daryl Hannah in Kill Bill Volume 2. He had the stunt women who were playing them watch the battle at the end, and he said that he wanted it to be the War of the Blonde Gargantuas. And then he called it the perfect giant monster movie. Tim Burton cites it as one of his all-time favorite films. And I mean, I think one of the most popular facts about this movie that most people know is that Brad Pitt says it's the first movie he ever remembers seeing and that he absolutely loved it. So, I mean, this movie has had a great impact. It has a great great storyline, great fight scene.
It still seems to be one of the lesser known of the Toho movies.
Oh, I didn't even know it existed before you had me watch it.
That's why I wanted to cover it, because...
Yeah, because, I mean...
Everyone knows Mothra. I mean, besides Godzilla, everyone kind of knows Mothra. Rodan, people kind of heard the Rodan name.
Well, everyone knows, like, the Godzilla... kind of small universe inside of Toho, where it's like, oh yeah, Godzilla, and Godzilla fights his monsters, and then like blah blah blah. But like, War of the Gargantuas is kind of its own separate thing, and it's Toho, and it's, you know, its own great thing. I guess next we gotta watch Frankenstein Conquers the World, right?
Yeah, we can do that one.
Well, I mean, not next.
It does have another kaiju in it, Baragon. Baragon does make a couple appearances in Godzilla movies, one or two.
Yeah, I think I've seen him in something. But yeah, so that was War of the Gargantuas. For our first part of Big Hairy Monsters, the second part of our double feature that we shall reveal to you is...
Willow Creek.
Yes, which is a wonderful film directed by...
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Who we love dearly. He is very talented.
I went to a screening and I met him and a couple of the actors, and he's very kind, and he's a really good guy. And that's why I think you guys should watch this movie. It's a newer movie.
Yeah, it's a newer movie. It's not like an old monster film. It's about Bigfoot.
That's why we want you guys to watch this before, and we want to get the news out there so you guys can watch it, so we're not spoiling too much.
Yeah, I mean, definitely watch this so we don't spoil anything. It is a Bigfoot kind of found footage
horror
cryptid. Thriller cryptid. Yeah. Definitely falls into the cryptid category of science fiction. So please, please, please watch this movie, and I hope you are very excited for our second part to this double feature. We do have a shout out this episode. Jarrett? Yeah,
we want to give a shout out to our good friend and early supporter all the way in Australia, Cinematic Randomness.
Yeah, he has been nothing but wonderful to us, and we are nothing but grateful.
Please check his website out, cinematicrandomness.com.
He does some great reviews, just did some great ones on some Planet of the Apes movies, which we have a new one coming out soon. So you definitely want to read those reviews, get those films watched before it comes out.
Yeah, again, that's cinematicrandomness.com and cinematic_RAND on Twitter, and what is it on Instagram?
It's cinematic_randomness on Instagram. So please make sure you follow and read our good friend. He is very, very talented and very, very friendly.
Yes. So that's for you, Cinematic Randomness, and we hope our followers will follow you.
See ya down under, mate. Oh, God. Please cut that out.
I'm not cutting that out because...
Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed.
That. And it's because I was not going to do that. And
I am very...
Cinematic Randomness needs to hear that. So
I am disgusting. Okay. Anyway,
That's
for you, Cinematic Randomness. My terrible Australian accent and saying weird things. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening this week. We really hope that you enjoyed it. And
we will definitely cover more kaiju. I am itching for more kaiju.
Definitely we'll have more Toho in the future. If you ever have any suggestions, please visit our Facebook page and send us a message. I mean, we are always open to suggestions and open to discussion. discussion with our fans.
And we'll probably have another poll also maybe to choose what we're going to do for August.
Just choosing the category. If you want to ever be a part of those polls, you can always go to our Twitter, which we will always plug our accounts at the end of every episode.
Yes.
So, yes, this has been a lot of fun.
And a long sign-off.
Yes, this has been a very long fucking sign-off. Anyway, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
We will see you on the other side.
We love you all.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website. Just add that.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDI Podcast.
We sure hope you enjoyed the movie. Thank you for joining us. As always, we're glad to have you. Please replace your speaker, dispense of all trash, and watch for children as you carefully exit our theater. Good night.